flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, gang. 404, I'm going to say 97.1 because I changed guys to gang and it just screwed everything up.
Yeah. Gang was kind of cool. I liked that.
You like that?
Yeah, we're a gang.
We're a gang. So last night, Michael Kelly's hanging out with us, by the way. Matt Pauly joins us. Last night, I took Wheels and Mikolas to Cap Grill to pay off the Mike Tyson bet that I made. And we had a fascinating conversation. And Matt, I wish you would have been there. I think you would have really enjoyed it and would have had something to say. But I was basically, Wheels, you can help me out with this, asking Bernie, what is, like, I know sports, but it's like knowing restaurant French compared to someone from Paris, to compare my sports knowledge to these guys. And I'm like, how did you get that? Did someone sit you down? Was it just earned over decades of osmosis, which is kind of what he was saying? But then I was asking him, well, how do you impart what you know? Because it's precious. It really is. Not to put, you know, make sports life, but what Bernie knows and what you guys know needs to be passed on to the next generation. How to know it? Like, and I told Bernie, it took me 3 years in law school, but when I was done with law school, I got it. You get better, but you got it. Someone taught you how to do this discipline. Is there something like that for you guys in sports? And it was just a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And it would be really fun to go to dinner with all you guys, too, at some point. That'd be enjoyable.
I think we're going to do it.
You got to get in on some of these bets then, buddy.
Yeah, you need to make stupid bets with Dave Glover. No, I think we should do it like once a month. Get the sports guys together. And it doesn't always have to be Cap Grill. We can
McDonald's.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Whatever, just hanging out with you guys. That would be fun.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
And I'll go too. Like, it'll be great.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Just the whole game.
The answer to the question is, I have people that in my career and in my life who, really gave into me, and I would not be the broadcaster today. I think about, like, when I was working in places like Manhattan, Kansas, and Colorado Springs, and the really solid broadcasters who gave into me and helped me become the broadcaster I am today. And there are still people. I think about working with Mike Claiborne all the time and just how wonderful he is to me and how he helps me become a better broadcaster all the time. So I think it has to be an intentional thing where people are choosing to kind of give in to other people, and we should all be doing that with younger folks.
It is fascinating because I was listening last night, Dave, when Bernie was explaining it. Because Bernie came up in a completely different way than Matt and I came up. Bernie came up as a reporter. He was a writer and a reporter, and he was working his way up the ranks that way. I didn't come up that way. I came up as a college baseball player who then got into radio. And I built the connections and the knowledge and all of that stuff, like the understandings and the inner workings, in a completely different way because it was a completely different path, right? So, like, when it comes to sports, like, in person, I was around the Miami football program for 4 years. I saw a lot of how all of that worked, and I knew, got to know some of those players, and you get to see, be around the coaches at times. I got to see that with the college basketball level and obviously baseball too. So you start to build a little bit there. And then I got into radio, and I wasn't near any of those things, but I was learning from radio people. And not so much somebody like putting their arm around you and teaching you the ropes, but more you're just around it all the time. And then occasionally they give you a nugget, you know. One of my favorite guys was a guy named Arnie Spanier, who still works. He's still a radio guy now. He's not that much. He's not even that much older than I am, but he was established and I was his producer. And he would always tell me these little things about when you're doing a radio show. Hey, number one thing is you got to have energy, man. You can't just come on flat. You can't come on, you know, tired or whatever. No matter how you feel, you have energy, because he was a big energy guy. And that was a different vibe than the overnight guy that I worked with, a guy named Bob Kemp, who was just the facts, man. He was Joe Friday. He's like, you get your facts straight. You get stuff. You have knowledge. You got to learn things and read and talk to people. So it was this little bit of everything from everyone, kind of like Bernie, but just from a different perspective, right?
How much, Matt, would you say, well, let me ask it a different way. What has been responsible primarily for your growth in the game itself? Not how to cover it, not how to broadcast it, but your understanding of the game. Did most of that happen when you're cutting your teeth down in the minor leagues?
I think it's a constant thing, and it's listening. The number one thing, and this is not just about broadcasting or sports. Like, I can't tell you. Okay, so we're at the winter meetings, and whenever you're at the winter meetings, there's always like young people around, and they come up to talk to you and introduce themselves and everything. It's the whole networking thing. And what shocked me this year, more so than any other year, was the amount of people who came up to me and Klaibs and Ricky, young broadcasters, and they asked us questions, but as opposed to listening to our answers, they very quickly wanted to tell us everything about them and how they do this and they do that. And it really kind of caught me off guard, because I think when I was at that age, I was pretty good at realizing, okay, I've got the opportunity to hear from somebody who's been there and done that. So I think my number one piece of advice to young people in anything is, when you're around people who have been doing it, listen. And I still do that now. I'm 42 years old, and I get to be around John Rooney and Ricky Horton and Mike Claiborne and all these, you know, the Frank Cusimano, like whoever else, all these legendary guys. I am going to shut up and I'm going to listen. And I think the number one way I've gotten to where I'm at right now is by being able to observe what else is going on.
Interesting.
Yep.
Let's switch to some actual on-the-ground sports. The trade du jour is Nolan Arenado to the Dodgers. We're going to move Max Muncy, blah, 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 blah. My question for you guys, though, is this the most you can remember a team, or at least the Cardinals, being controlled by one player in the offseason?
Well, that's a great question.
I mean, I'm saying my first offseason was after 2006, so I can only speak to from then forward. I don't remember them being in this situation for two reasons. One, they don't usually have a player with a no trade clause that they're looking to move. And two, they've not been until now, from 2006 until now, and actually it goes back to probably the late 90s until now, they've never really been in the mode where they're trying to sell anything, right? They're always trying to add. They're always trying to get better to make the run. So this is completely unique to anything that I can think of.
The other side of that, too, is it is a very rare thing for John Mozeliak to sit in a room and say, our intention is to trade Nolan Arenado, and then double down on that every single time he does a media interview. This past weekend at winter warm-up, he goes, you know, our plans 1, 2, and 3 are to trade Arenado. So, Dave, there probably have been situations with this club where internally they felt the pressure to move somebody, but it was not as out there as this thing is right now.
Yeah, and it's a sign of the kind of the situation. You know, I mean, like they're in a unique spot. And when you have to make a course correction, when you've got to say this is thing that we were doing is not getting us where we want to go, we have to change things. This is the kind of thing that comes up. Stuff that you're not used to. It just so happens that, I mean, you happen to have a guy who a few years ago was the guy you were hoping would be the one that took you to that next level, right? Adding Arenado was like, okay, this is one of the things we got to do to win the World Series. And now you're a few years later, and that didn't work out for a lot of reasons, including that that player didn't play at the level that you were hoping he would the last couple of years. And now you've got to try to find a way to fix several problems at once, and it's all happening at the same time as the local TV contracts in baseball are changing. And they're not changing for the short term better, right? Nobody's getting more money. Everybody's getting less money. But they're changing, and down the road, it'll probably be better than it was, but it won't be right now. And that's all a part of the calculations that go into these things.
Hard left turn. I've been excited about the Billikens. I was excited when all that stuff happened with the coach and with, you know, Larry Blurd and all that stuff. It's been a little bit of a letdown. Just wondering from the X's and O guys, like, kind of what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think it's been really good here recently. They're tied for first place in the Atlantic 10. You bring in a new coach and a bunch of new players. Sometimes it clicks right away. We saw that in Dennis Gates' first year with Missouri. And sometimes it takes a little while to click. And SLU was dealing with injuries during the non-conference season, some other things as well. You look at what they've done. They have one loss at VCU since league play got started. They win last night against LaSalle. They have two road wins already in conference play. I'm not sitting here telling you that this is an NCAA tournament team. The odds are still stacked against them, because their non-conference resume wasn't good enough right for them to get an at-large bid. But what they're doing right now, I think this is that really good step forward that we were waiting for.
I mean, they're 5-1 in conference, and I think that puts them second or third in the conference regular season, which all it really is going to do is affect your seeding for the postseason tournament. But
would they have to win the conference to get into the show?
I think so, don't you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, unless they like literally go don't lose again this year, but even that might not be enough. They just their non-conference schedule and the losses that they took in the non-conference are just not good.
Yeah, that three in a row is probably the killer. The Illinois State, Wofford, Grand Canyon, like losing those three in a row probably is, it's not enough by itself, but it's enough that unless you're basically perfect or you win the conference tournament, then obviously you get the automatic bid. And I'm sure the A-10 would appreciate that because I think VCU is going to get in either way.
Mm.
Dayton's pretty good. I mean, there's good. The A-10 should be a multiple bid league. They weren't last year. I can't remember if they were a couple years ago. But when you've got some of these programs in here, they should be getting 2 to 3 teams in.
Matt, who do you like for the weekend NFL?
I like the Chiefs. I'm not super confident on that one, but I think the Chiefs win, especially with that at home. And I just, with all due respect to the Washington Commanders, and so much fun to watch Jaden Daniels play, I don't see a scenario where the Commanders pull it off in Philadelphia. I'm very confident that the Eagles will win that game.
Not as confident, but I kind of agree with both choices. I'm not as confident on the second one. I think Washington's a real threat. I think that Jaden Daniels is different. He's a different dude.
And Matt, Kevin Wheeler was very happy with the NCAA playoffs. He thought that did just what it was supposed to do. Do you agree?
Yeah, I liked it. It was kind of offsetting when there's no SEC teams, really. Yeah, there's one in the Final Four, but Texas has been in the league for 15 minutes, so they barely count. And then nobody in it. But, you know, that's the changing nature of college football. I think the games, for the most part, were fine. It was the bracket was something that was worth talking about. So, for a first year of the expanded playoff, the TV rating was not good, though, by the way, for the national championship game. And I do think that comes back to the SEC audience that goes along with that. But yeah, just because a lot of people didn't watch a game doesn't mean that it wasn't a good game and a successful game.
But I do think it's important that it changed, because for like 20 years, it was either the SEC or Clemson. Like literally every winner was from the Southeast. Well, people out West and people in the Midwest and people in the Northeast, they don't care about those teams. So I think it's good to have open doors for all of these teams to get in there.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
You bet.
423 DGS. Existential question. In one of those moods today, kind of apropos what we were talking about on the break. Do we as humans have a right to be happy, or just the opportunity, and it's really, really up to us to earn it?
Marketers, Are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
I think they're the same thing, right? Like, because you have the right to be happy doesn't mean it's guaranteed. I think having the right to be happy, which I think we all do, basically just is that. It's giving you the opportunity. It's saying, hey, you can do this. It's possible. The path there is different for everybody. And
the promise to no one.
Yeah, but and for some people it's harder than others, but it is possible. It is doable. It is. You're right. I guess I don't necessarily equate something being a right with something being that's owed to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
maybe that's a wrong way to look at it. But like, I don't think.
But then again, it's almost a definition of.
I think maybe the better way to look at it is it's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right. Like you have the right to it. Like nobody should be able to take it from you. But it's also not a guarantee that it's going to be that way because so much of it is out of your control.
But is a right
so much of it is how does your brain function? You know what? You know, like how are you compared to five other people? Also, what do other people around you contribute to that? You know, there it's if you controlled it completely, it would be a little different. But you don't. Nobody does.
So it's always the right to pursue. You have the right to pursue work. You have the right to pursue relationships, but you don't have the right to it. You don't have the right to an outcome.
Well, yeah, you have a right to the opportunity, but not well, you necessarily
can't,
to the end.
Yeah, it's hard when you're using when we use the word right because it can't be guaranteed.
Right.
Right? Like what we're talking about here can't be guaranteed.
Yeah, and happiness when we first came in as a species was survival, right? It was not getting eaten by the tiger and not being chased by the bear. And, you know, now, I mean, even people without housing are fed well, and you know we have, and so your brain that used to spend so much of its computing power on being able to survive, which I guess would equate to happiness, is now left idle to deal with all this other stuff. At least that's my experience. I feel like my brain sometimes has so much opportunity to do nothing that it speeds at a million miles an hour. When in the past it was consumed, what it would have consumed with being safe, which would have been equated with happiness.
How about a deeper version of this? What if happiness is a relatively new thing?
Yeah.
I mean, what if our ancestors 500 years ago, like basically nobody was happy because life sucked.
But happiness could have been that connection with the opposite sex.
No, maybe, but it may not. I mean, we don't know in the same way that we perceive it.
Right.
Because we... You know, most of the people in the world would not have known all the options out there to be happy. Yeah. They wouldn't know you can travel to South America and you can see all these things. You could have a mansion. Like, none of those things were even in your thought process. You just knew what you were and where you were and what was going on around you, and that was basically it.
Yeah.
It blowing my mind.
We're getting deep, though.
I know, but it's fascinating
but
about
And just to continue on it, and I guess you wanted to go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's part of the reason we're seeing all these people that throughout the world are trying to relocate. Even though they may be in a third world country, they've seen what exists here in Europe and in the United States. And they're like, wait a minute, I can do this too. I mean, isn't that the biggest thing that the communists and the South Koreans are a part of, is that people may learn this and that manifest destiny that's inside all of us to go forward and to find that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's exactly why a place like North Korea closes off, because they don't want people leaving.
You just named the newest Dave Glover show segment.
What's
the
that?
DGS rabbit hole. It's perfect.
That's a great idea.
It's perfect because every day we do it.
Yeah.
Way to go, Michael Kelly.
Hey, all right, let's I'm done
it.
Here.
Now you just got to get a sponsor for it.
PetSmarts.
You need to quit while you're ahead.
Get
you're
the
on
sales
fire.
Team in here.
You need to go play the lottery.
Brought to you by Bunny Pellets, the best bunny food in the world.
So I'm not saying I'm happy about it when I use the word impressed, but I'm impressed at the speed at which the Trump administration is moving and just how in radio there's something we don't talk about it much anymore. But there for a while, they talked about super serving your P1s, right? Your P1s are the people who listen to your show all the time. Super serve the P1s. Don't worry about the P2s, the P3s. Super serve the P1s. And he's definitely super serving his P1s. He has put on leave everyone whose job in the federal government it is to have anything to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion. And just announced just a few minutes ago that the Justice Department has ordered a freeze on all civil rights cases. So a big part of what the Justice Department usually does is to pursue cases based on a violation of civil rights. And they're saying we just don't have time for that. And it's not our focus. So they've been stopped. That's really something.
It's fascinating. I mean, obviously, you had the birthright citizenship thing that was deemed unconstitutional today by a judge, not the Supreme Court, just by the first judge to hear the case. So it doesn't mean that all of these things stay. It doesn't mean that all of them are going to be overturned either. But what it does, to your point, Dave, is at the end of it, even if it doesn't stand, he gets to tell everybody, look, I did what I said I was going to do. I can't control if the Supreme Court says I can't or if another court says I can't, but I did what I said I was going to do. Like, that's a big... That's a symbolic win, even if the issue itself doesn't end up going the way that people want it to. Right? I mean, It's kind of how politics works, because then you can come back around and say, look, I did what I told you.
The White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention has gone offline. They think that they'll be shutting that down as well.
Mm. Well, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that means it should go. I'm not saying that at all. Yeah. I'm just saying that it kind of falls in line with everything else. It doesn't mean that you're also not going to enforce things at some point.
Yeah, it feels like that office hasn't accomplished much. So,
I mean, because what is that? Is that I shouldn't ask. I'm asking because I don't know. What does that office just send out information? Does it
don't know
inform? Does it have any power to do anything? I have no idea. I have no idea. But I know, again, look at it. It's a symbolic thing for people that supported him.
So what
at
did
the very least?
What did Trump say about Elon today? That was pretty funny.
Yeah, somebody asked him about Elon criticizing the AI deal that we talked about yesterday, which is Sam Altman, SoftBank, Oracle getting together for AI infrastructure. Somebody asked Trump about it today, and he shrugged it off. And he's like, "Yeah, he just hates one of the people."
See, I can't stand most of the stuff that Trump does. Then he'll do something like that. I'm like, oh,
yeah, I mean, it's just he's saying, "Yep, he just hates Sam Altman." Which is what it is, because those two are tech bro rivals, and they're both fighting for funding, right? I mean, if people are going to give their money to AI, well, then they're not going to give it to Elon and vice versa.
So speaking of Elon, a Milwaukee TV weather person was fired after criticizing his salute during the inauguration.
Yeah, did you see this story? Like, do you know
just
what went into it? So this reporter... I'm a reporter. She's a. I don't know if she's a meteorologist, but she does the weather on a TV station in Milwaukee. On her own social media, I think on Instagram, made a couple of posts about it and used. I mean, she swore. I mean, she used the F-bomb a couple times, and she used the B-word in the middle of all of it to convey her belief that that was a Nazi salute, right? And she said something like, I don't, if you blank with Nazis, then you, I don't blank with you and things like that. And people at first were like, well, is she getting fired because she criticized Elon? And I don't think it is. I think it's a lot more about the way she went about it, using the terms that she did. Cause imagine if that was, I mean, using, you know, I can't remember what the full context was of, it's something like that stupid blank is a Nazi and using the B word in that. I'm trying not to get too descriptive here, but I think it's the choice of words being used. Because think about it. What are you supposed to be on TV? You're on local TV. You're supposed to be the smiley, nice.
Like us.
Friendly, right. The friendly person that people like to watch on TV. I think anybody on any issue that used those terms is probably going to be in trouble in that situation.